This morning's scripture reading comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew. All four Gospels record the resurrection of Jesus, the empty tomb, and the people who found it that way, other people that Jesus spoke to afterwards, many witnesses to his resurrection, to him being alive again. So today's comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, the first 10 verses. This is God's word to you and me today. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and the clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is God's word to you and me today. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word to us. Thank you for the gospel writer's faithful writing of the life of Jesus from his birth to his death to his resurrection. And Lord, as we enter into this resurrection passage today, speak to us through it. Open our hearts, open our eyes up to hear what you are saying, to see what you are doing in our lives. And we pray, God, that you would be glorified in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today, as we've acknowledged already before, it is Resurrection Day, more commonly called Easter. Does it feel like it? Does it feel like Easter today? It's a little bit different, that's for sure. I will say this, however. In one way, our sanctuary this morning feels more Easter-like than it ever has before, because today it is as empty as Jesus' tomb. There is nobody there. Any worship elements you've seen this morning that are coming from the sanctuary were recorded in advance, and the sanctuary is empty, just like the tomb of Jesus was on that very first Easter day. I would also say this about our current situation. We are actually experiencing Easter much as the first disciples did. After Jesus' death, they isolated themselves in the room where they had been with Jesus for the Last Supper to celebrate the Passover meal. And after once he was crucified and after he had died, they went back to that room. They gathered there, and they hid from the public. They were gathered there in fear, even, John tells us. And it's into that first century fearful isolation situation that these women bring the news to them that Jesus' tomb is empty. He is risen. And that's the same message that we both receive and proclaim today into a 21st century version of a similar situation. We are all huddled at home, removed from society in isolation. Whether we call it fear that puts us there or not, let's be honest, none of us wants to get COVID-19. Even if, in all likelihood, if we were to get it, most of us certainly would not die, and many of us would even only have mild symptoms. But no one's taking any chances. No one is hanging out in public any longer than they need to. I don't think that you're hanging out at home because you want to. We're there because we feel we need to. Maybe even the sense of fear even is at play in us. And that's why you're participating in an Easter service online from home, perhaps still dressed in your pajamas. And even without a pandemic, there's plenty of other stuff in our lives that causes fear or anxiety or worry and stress and more. And it is into that situation, the situation that we find ourselves in, pandemic or not, in our very lives and in our world is in that situation that we hear the good news that the tomb is empty. That Jesus' tomb is empty. In his resurrection, we see the power of God on display. That it's not just the power to stop evil from happening. That it's not just the power to prevent bad situations from arising and preventing circumstances from turning sour in our lives or in the world. It's not just the power to prevent death. It's the power to completely turn the tide and overcome it all. Where evil says check, God says checkmate. That is God's power. And here's the thing. The demonstration of God's power and the good news of the empty tomb is not isolated from the rest of Jesus' life. It did not happen in a vacuum. So if you're wondering what the big deal is about Easter, I think one of the key things to understanding it is that it's not only about Easter. It's not just about this day that we celebrate. It's about Jesus' whole life, which was filled with God's power and with good news. There's a context to Easter that gives it incredible depth and gives it power in our lives still today. It's vitally important to understanding this. In fact, Jesus' whole life doesn't just stand independent and isolated on its own. It doesn't just come in out of left field. It's not a blip on the radar screen that appeared out of the blue. His life is rooted in creation. It's rooted in God's plan of redemption and relationship with humanity. It's rooted in the Jewish religious system and all that they engage in. All of history, in fact, points to and leads up to the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the context of Jesus' life and ministry is established long before his life began here on earth. And the good news that Jesus proclaimed and the power that he displayed started happening long before even the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus is not a socially distanced, isolated event in his life. It is connected to everything. Even still today, it is connected to you and to me. But there are two ways that I want to highlight this morning. Two ways that God's resurrection power particularly impacts you and me today. The first is that through the power of God in Christ, the things in life that are beyond our control but seek to work against us and bring us down, those things do not have the last word. The resurrection tells us that they do not ultimately win the day. Cancer, disease, poverty, hunger, homelessness, abuse, natural disasters, crashing economies, jobs lost, gossiping coworkers, pay cuts, death of loved ones, whatever it may be. These are the kinds of things that make us oftentimes ask questions like, what is going on? Why is this happening? Where is God in the midst of this? And God works powerfully in the midst of those things, and the resurrection proves it. God overcomes those things, and the resurrection proves it. We see it elsewhere too. We see it elsewhere in Scripture. It's not just our lives that are the first time this has happened, of course. For instance, there's Joseph, who was shipped off from Israel to Egypt by his brothers who were jealous of him. And then even while he was there in Egypt, he was falsely accused of sexual misconduct by a high-ranking government official's wife. It could have ended his life even there. And that happened while he was there in Egypt. Or how about David, the king in waiting, who's already been chosen by God to be the next king. He's the king in waiting, and he is chased and attempted to be killed by King Saul because of Saul's jealousy. And yet God works through those situations to bless people and display his power and his sovereignty over it all. Joseph ends up saving Egypt and then even his own family because he gained Pharaoh's trust. And then through his his foresight and God speaking into his life about what was coming. There was going to be a famine in the land, and it was going to be widespread, and a 7-year famine after 7 year of blessing. And so Joseph said, we need to be planning. We need to save for this to get through it. And that saved Egypt when the famine extended up into Israel. His own family came down because they heard there was food in Egypt, and they were reunited with Joseph, and he forgave them. But God worked in the midst of that terrible situation in his life. God worked through him. Similarly, David perseveres and trusts in God to protect him. It gives him the courage and the strength to persevere through what Saul was doing to try to kill him. And eventually he does ascend to the throne and becomes king and is a blessing to Israel. And so the resurrection reminds us that when people undermine us, when pandemic strikes, when disaster happens, when people accuse us of stuff or ship us off, God's power is not thwarted, but it is simply waiting for the right time to be displayed. You see, God is with us in the midst of those kinds of things. David turned to God in the midst of it. Joseph turned to God in the midst of what he went through. God is with us in the midst of those heavy, gut-wrenching, anxiety-inducing, and injustice kinds of things. All right, these things are beyond our control. And he ultimately works through them for his glory. That's the kind of power that he has. And we see it in Jesus' resurrection. We see it in his resurrection. We see it in his ministry. In order for Jesus to be resurrected, he had to die first. Without death, there is no resurrection. That's the nature of the power of God. And the resurrection of Jesus is proof of it. So God's power and his presence is his presence with us is shown in the midst of these kinds of things, as he is with us in the middle of them, and he gives us victory over them in the long run. And we see that in Jesus' resurrection. And then the second way that we see the power of God in Christ is when Jesus gives his mission statement in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Jesus says this. He says, the Son of Man, and this is referencing himself, the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. What does it mean to be lost? What does Jesus mean when he says this? Well, it means not being in relationship with God, not being in relationship with our Creator, not being connected to our Creator. And simply put, it means that sin, which comes in all kinds of shapes and sizes, it means that sin has led us away from our Creator and has led us to have broken relationships with the people in our lives as well. Even with ourselves, we experience that brokenness, the fruit of our sin, the negative fruit of our sin in our own personal lives as well. And we see this at the individual level, in the relational level, and on a societal level as well. And we may not like the word sin, but I'm not sure what else you want to call stuff like pride or greed or materialism or selfishness or addictions, labeling of others, the judgment that comes with that, hatred. What else do we call those things? It's this word that summarizes it all. That's what sin is. These are all ways, these kind of things I just named are all ways that sin creeps into our lives and pulls us away from other people and pulls us away from God. And when we try and do life on our own, apart from God, that is what Jesus defines as being lost. That's what he means, that we are lost people. We may not even recognize our own lostness. We may not want to acknowledge it. We may pretend it's not true, but that's how Jesus sees us, as being lost and separated from him, separated from God. But Jesus is seeking to find you. That's his mission. He has come to seek and to save what was lost. Jesus wants to make sure that you and I and others are no longer lost. This matters so much to him that he came from heaven, walked the face of the earth, ministered to people, displayed the character of God in all that he said and all that he did, and then he laid down his life for us on the cross because of our sin. And just when it seemed that evil had gained the upper hand and had won with a tremendous power play, God then raised him back up from the dead. The tomb is empty. He is risen. So God's power is worked out in our lives to overcome our sin and transform us both here and now in our lives as we live them right now, as we live, breathe, walk the face of the earth around our house in social isolation, and also into eternity in God's presence. God has the power to transform from death to life, from addiction to freedom, from hatred to love, from lies to truth. Sometimes that transformation comes out much differently than we think it will. Sometimes it takes a long time. Sometimes it is instantaneous. For instance, you may be struggling to love your enemies, as Jesus invites us and commands us to do. Jesus tells us to love our enemies. You can turn to God in prayer. If you are struggling with that, you can turn to God in prayer and say, "Dear God, I struggle to love those who oppose me, and work against the causes that you have called me to live into. So Lord, help me to see where those people are coming from, to learn from them even, and to love them as you do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen." And God will over time, and maybe instantaneously, transform your heart to love those people. Crud! I said God can transform your heart, not your clothes. It's not what's on the outside. We Huskies can love the Cougars without dressing like them. Oh my goodness. This is terrible. I don't know what's happened. Look, be careful about what you pray for, right? And after you turn your heart to God, after you turn to God like that, be looking for Him to move in your life. Perhaps in mysterious ways, His answers to your prayers may not be what you're expecting. But this kind of transformative power is what the resurrection of Jesus backs up, is what it's all about. It's proof positive that Jesus' claims about who He was when He walked the face of the earth, who He is, and the transformative effect that He says He can have, the resurrection is proof about that. That it is true now in our lives and eternally true as well. And this is good news. This is God's resurrection power in your life and mine. Praise God for that. Whatever you're facing, whether it's your sin or someone else's sin that is impacting you or some other circumstance that's beyond your control, God can get you through it. Whether you're facing a pandemic or caught up in pornography, Jesus' resurrection power is enough to get you through it. Whether you're facing a divorce or struggling with drugs, Jesus' resurrection power is enough to get you through it. Whether you're prideful and arrogant or abused and broken, Jesus' resurrection power is enough to get you through it. Whether you've lost a loved one or you and are grieving or you can't muster compassion for others in their grief, Jesus' resurrection power is enough to get you through it. Whether you are caught up in greed and materialism or stuck in poverty, Jesus' resurrection is enough to get you through it. Whatever troubles you face in this world, whatever sin you're caught up in, Jesus' resurrection power is enough to get you through it. That's what Jesus' resurrection means. That's the good news that we celebrate today. That's the full depth of God's power. It's a power that once those fearful, huddled, isolating disciples in the wake of Jesus' death, once they heard it, they were transformed and swept into a whole new way of living. They got swept up from huddling together in fear and isolation to boldly proclaiming that Jesus was raised from the dead. They proclaimed His name without fear. That was the transformative power of the resurrection in their lives. And that same power is offered to you and to me as well. And I pray that you would know this resurrection power in your life. Many of you already do. And undoubtedly, you have had experiences of God's resurrection power, His transformative power. You've had experiences of that in your life. The way God has touched you and blessed you or brought you out of difficult situations or carried you through difficult times, I would even ask you to consider encouraging others in their own journey of faith. Maybe people who are far from God or encouraging those who are already Christians to share how God has touched your life, how you have experienced His power. You can do that in the comments below there on YouTube video or on Facebook, and encourage you to share that. Just even just a phrase or a sentence about what God has done. if you don't know Jesus, and if you don't know that resurrection power that he has, then there's no time like the present, like this Easter Sunday. There is no time like the present to turn from your sin, turn from your brokenness, and turn towards your Heavenly Father. To let Jesus' love and his resurrection power find you. Why live in an ongoing Good Friday when the Easter resurrection power of God is available to you today? Why keep living like March and April in pandemic is just eternally the way it's going to be in your life? Why live like that when you can turn a new corner and live into the resurrection power of God, even in the midst of the pandemic? Why not do that? There's no time like the present to begin experiencing that power. It will change your life. And it begins when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. When you have a relationship with your Heavenly Father through faith in Jesus. So I pray that you would know the depth of God's resurrection power in your life, beginning today, and that you'd know it always, because indeed, Christ is risen. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this good news, for this resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead and is available to us today, that we can be found and be brought into relationship with you, our Heavenly Father, through faith in Jesus. Thank you, God, for that. We confess that we have sinned, fallen short of your glory. We want to lay that at the footstool of your throne, to lay that at the foot of the cross, and ask you, God, to forgive us, to renew us, to resurrect us, to live for you in all seasons of life. We pray all of this in the strong, certain, life-giving name of Jesus, and all of God's children said together, amen.